Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, January the 9th. We will devote our 7 o'clock hour, our next hour, to analyzing the New Hampshire primary election results, where, as you heard in the news, John McCain defeated Mitt Romney on the Republican side and Hillary Clinton upset Barack Obama. Upset because it was widely believed, based on pre-election day polling and exit polls and even internal campaign polls, that Barack Obama had this one sewn up. He had a double-digit lead in some polls. Even the Clinton campaign didn't see this coming. Again, we will talk more in our next hour about what happened and why. In this hour, we're going to wonder if her rare display of emotion, her choking up on the other day, almost crying, had anything to do with her win in New Hampshire.
You know, this is very personal for me. It's not just political. It's not just public. I see what's happening. And we have to reverse it. And some people think elections are a game. They think it's like who's up or who's down. It's about our country. It's about our kids' futures. And it's really about all of us together.
But Hillary Clinton didn't get a lot of sympathy from challenger John Edwards.
What we need in a commander-in-chief is strength and resolve. And it's, you know, presidential campaigns are tough business, but being president of the United States is also a very tough business.
So how did you react to Hillary Clinton's near tears? Did you view this as a genuine moment? Did you welcome it? Did it make her seem more human to you? Do you think it had anything to do with her win yesterday? Some Democratic strategists are saying it did. Or did you think it made her look weak? Did it frighten you? Did it dredge up stereotypes that women are too emotional to be in positions of power, that she might start sobbing when the pressure is on? We will talk with a psychology professor about politicians and emotions and our reaction to those emotions this hour, and we will welcome your questions and thoughts for him at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Aubrey Immelman, an associate professor of psychology at the College of St. Benedict and St. John's University in Collegeville, Minnesota, where he directs the study of personality in politics. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
When I first saw the clip of Hillary Clinton choking up, I thought to myself, well, this is going to get a lot of attention, but I didn't know if it was going to be viewed positively or negatively. What did you think?
I thought that it had the potential to be viewed negatively, but my thought was really that it could help Hillary more than hurt her.
Yeah, and why do you think it could help her more than hurt her?
Because Hillary's a very, she has a kind of a hard image. In the profiling that we did, we found her on toughness just about as high as John McCain, and of all the presidential candidates, only Rudy Giuliani scored higher on dominance. And you know, that could have that could be positive if you have a tough guy image, but when you have to deal with gender stereotypes as well, as is the case with Hillary, that could be disadvantageous. However, with the show of emotion, I thought it could soften the image a little bit and create a little bit of sympathy for Hillary.
Yeah. Well, what do you think it did?
It's evidently in view of what happened in New Hampshire last night, I think it may have. Of course, it's unknowable exactly why Hillary won against predictions, but I'm thinking it may have played a small role.
Yeah, we did a program yesterday talking about the New Hampshire race, and one of our callers said, I witnessed Hillary Clinton losing this election by the show of anger in the debate over the weekend. What about that? What's your reaction to that?
Yeah,
I just the fact that she does score high on toughness, you say, and dominance, and she did show some anger in that debate, and a lot of people were wondering if that hurt her, the anger.
I thought so to some extent, but I think it may have been offset by the fact that viewers may have perceived Obama and Edwards as ganging up on her a little bit. And also I thought that Barack Obama came across as a little bit smug, maybe cocky, when he said, "People, you're likable enough, Hillary," or something to that effect.
Mm.
And so I think that may have offset the show of anger on Hillary's part and once again created some sympathy and support for her.
Yeah. Back to the tears, though, a lot of us remember, not all of us, but a lot of us remember Ed Muskie pretty much having his campaign dissolve when he, well, when people thought he was crying during the New Hampshire primary back in the 70s.
Yes, he said it was a snowflake, but that was, of course, a long time ago, and times change. I think it's a little bit more acceptable nowadays for a politician to show some emotion, but it really also depends a lot, I think, on context. For example, in the case of Ed Muskie, I believe that the that he was responding to a what he perceived as a newspaper attack on his wife, and so it may have seemed very personal. Whereas you know, people may have thought that if a person cannot handle a personal attack like that, how is he going to handle crisis situations when he has the highest office, in, when he's in the Oval Office. So that's one part of the context. As we all know, President Bush and other leaders more recently have shown emotion. For example, President Bush with reference to fallen soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think when it's a national tragedy, something like a fallen soldier or the Oklahoma City bombing, it's probably more acceptable to show emotions. I think if a presidential candidate broke down and tears were running down their face in response to a personal attack, it might still have a similar effect to what it had on Ed Muskie's campaign.
We are talking with Aubrey Immelman, Associate Professor of Psychology at the College of St. Benedict and St. John's University, talking about emotions and politicians and Hillary Clinton's show of emotion this week on the campaign trail. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Did that make her look weak or more human? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's just about 19 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, January the 9th. We will talk more about the New Hampshire primary results coming up after 7 o'clock. Welcoming in a guest political analyst, Kathleen Dunn. We'll also be talking about the results after 9 o'clock this morning. More on Talk of the Nation, more with Ben Marins, and you can join in all day long as we talk presidential politics. During this hour, we're focusing in on one aspect of the presidential campaign, and that being Hillary Clinton showing her emotions on the campaign trail in New Hampshire on Monday, choking up a bit when she was asked by a voter how she does it, how she puts up with the rigors of the campaign day after day. And Hillary Clinton broke down a little bit or choked up a little bit. She didn't actually start crying, but she was holding back tears as she talked about how personal this was to her and how important it was to her. Now, some Democratic strategists are actually saying that that rare show of emotion may have had something to do with Hillary Clinton's upset victory in New Hampshire yesterday. We're talking with a guest professor of psychology about it. Audrey Immelman is an associate professor of psychology. He directs the study of personality in politics at the College of St. Benedict and St. John's University in Collegeville, Minnesota. And we'll go to the phones and take our first caller, Rich in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that I think it helped Hillary out. The reason why I think that is because for the longest time, I'm definitely not a Democrat, but I look at Hillary, and I saw this really hard, you know, tough, like, over woman. And I think it helped her out. And because it showed that she's actually human. And I also think that the, you know, I know in my mind, I think it was a fluke that Barack Obama did as well as he did in Iowa, because I think that the Democrats, they're smart people. They understand that he doesn't have the experience, and Hillary does, and she's working hard for, you know, her side, and I think it came across, but the whole human side of her came out, which a lot of people haven't seen, and I think it helped her.
Yeah, and she even said in her victory speech last night, Professor Immelman, that thanks to the New Hampshire voters, because I listened to what you had to say, and I found my voice.
That's correct. And, Joy, imagine if Rich, who says that he's definitely not a Democrat, if he feels like that, imagine how women who may be Democrats or independents would feel about the incident.
Yeah. You know, but I wanted to follow up with something you said before the weather break, too, where you had mentioned President Bush has been known to tear up when he's talking about fallen soldiers. And we have seen our male political leaders tearing up on occasion, and it doesn't hurt them. Hillary Clinton was not, though, responding to something about fallen soldiers. She was responding to a question about how do you do it? How do you, you know, campaign day after day with how tough the campaign is, kind of a thing. It's not exactly talking about a major crisis. There is talking about campaigning, and she starts almost crying.
Yes, and you know, I think we have to also be careful not to to overanalyze this. All the candidates must have been very tired with this truncated primary process in New Hampshire, coming just, what, 5 days after Iowa?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they were tired, but I think it's just important to keep the situation in mind. But beyond the situation, if we then go ahead and look at personality, I think it is interesting to look at Hillary Clinton's personality. Three of the personality patterns that she has, the one is that she's very high on dominance, as I've said, quite a controlling type of an individual. One might even say a control freak, and that is reinforced by being very, very high on conscientiousness, people who like to plan ahead and are diligent, mm-hmm. and so forth. And then she's very high on, shall I just say, on ego, mm-hmm. or on self-confidence. And you know, she's obviously been planning this for years and years and years, and she's for the longest time been the front runner. And then she began to see the path that she had planned for mm-hmm. so long begin to crumble right in front of her. So I think she momentarily had a sense of loss of control, which probably reinforced the understandable fatigue that she must have felt at that point.
Yeah. Next, we go to Ardell in Poinette. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm glad you're taking my call. Thanks a lot. Mm-hmm. I'd like to respond, first of all, to the statement that we mustn't overanalyze what's going on. We also have to be careful about not overgeneralizing emotional reactions in political candidates. I think that Hillary's calculated reaction communicated something that she perhaps didn't intend, but I doubt that very much.
Well, what do you mean she communicated something she didn't intend?
I think she's very calculating. I think she triangulates, to unfortunately use an overused term. And I think that the way she reacted was in her plan.
Yeah, you think this was a calculated move. It wasn't a genuine show of emotion.
I do indeed. I do not believe it was a genuine show of emotion.
Yeah,
just like I do not believe that President Bush's crying when he mentions dead troops is a show of emotion, I think it's also very calculated. I think the two of them are on equal footing when it comes to the ability to act. He's been acting like a Texan for the last 16 years or so, and she's been acting like a New Yorker for quite a while. And I think that it's really unfortunate that we can't see through that really thin patina and insincerity on both of their parts.
Well, how many voters do you think viewed it that way, Professor Immelman?
I would imagine at least some of the voters did. certainly I could go. I go along with the caller insofar as Hillary, indeed, based on the personality profile that we developed, is very calculating. In fact, I would probably rate her as the most calculating of all the presidential candidates. But on the other side of the coin, I think we should also be careful here, because her husband, former President Bill Clinton, had a reputation for turning on and off the tears whenever it suited his purposes. So I think we should just be careful not to to apply that to Hillary. But yes, I think that a significant number of people probably view the tears as having been contrived. Having watched the video, my sense is just that this was not something that she had planned. However, once it had happened, I'm sure that she would have brought that into play and used it strategically.
Let's now go to Scott in Managua. Hi, Scott.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment that I did not think that that shows that she's a weak person, that she's not capable of being president. She's an intelligent person, highly intelligent person, huge amounts of experience. And you just addressed the point that I had in mind, was that George Bush cries. Ronald Reagan cried, did cry. It goes on and on. I don't see how that... At first, I was concerned that people are going to jump on this and they're going to turn this around and use it against her. But then I thought, you know what, let's give the American people more credit than that.
Yeah. But I'm wondering, too, Professor Immelman, if maybe it was just on the blogosphere. I don't have any scientific evidence of this, but it seemed that more men accepted this than maybe women did at first. You don't agree?
I can't really, I can't directly comment on it, but yes, it may well be true.
Women were afraid that it might make her look weak, and were you know, maybe more worried about it.
Yes, I've certainly seen many many men, including people like Bill O'Reilly, was actually fairly sympathetic when it happened. Others were less sympathetic. On Monday night on a talk show on a network, Dick Morris, the political consultant, said that, this is from memory, he said something to the effect of, there may be a time when the U.S. comes under attack that Hillary Clinton may break down like that, and you know, implying that she's not fit to be president. I thought that was a very unfair assessment, because you know, Hillary Clinton's personality profile suggests to me that she may have brief lapses in her composure when her ego is deflated, or when she's crossed, or her goals are thwarted, but not in the face of personal challenges per se. And you know, she's every bit as tough as, let's say, Margaret Thatcher, for example.
And of course, no love lost between Dick Morris and Hillary Clinton. We will talk more about emotions and Hillary Clinton and politicians coming up after we check news from National Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network.
You know, this is very personal for me. It's not just political. It's not just public. I see what's happening, and we have to reverse it.
Hillary Clinton choking up earlier this week in New Hampshire. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we are talking about that show of emotion by Hillary Clinton and whether it hurt her or helped her, made her look more human or made her look weak. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or talk at WPR.org. Based on her upset victory over Barack Obama yesterday, it didn't hurt her. She responded to a reporter after that show of emotion when questioned as to whether or not this made her look weak.
We have gone through years of male political figures who have done everything from cry to scream, who have been our presidents. We have had all kinds of pictures and stories. And, you know, I am who I am. I think people have followed me and watched me. They know that I am cool under fire. They know that I am tough. They know that I can make decisions. But I also want them to know I'm a real person.
Our guest is Aubrey Immelman, Associate Professor of Psychology at the College of St. Benedict and St. John's University in Collegeville, Minnesota, where he directs the study of personality in politics. He says that that show of emotion by Hillary Clinton probably helped her. And Mark in Appleton is our next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I think in my view, I see a person who has these mood swings, kind of a yo-yo. One time they're up, one time they're down, based upon that situation. But I guess my bottom line is, whoever becomes president, I want somebody who's going to be pretty even-keeled, because if they're having these type of mood swings, how are they going to deal with issues in the world throughout and in our country if they're having these, what I would call yo-yo type mood swings?
Yeah, Mark.
You want somebody who's pretty even keeled, I would think.
Yeah, I'm going to get our guest to respond to that, but do you think that President Bush is showing mood swings when he tears up talking about fallen soldiers in Iraq?
I would have to base that upon that situation, but we're just talking in general how I see one of our candidates running for president. How are they going to deal with real tough issues?
Mm-hmm. Professor Immelman, your reaction to that?
Yes, it would. You know, I would need to have concrete instances. Just going by the profiles that we developed, I have numbers on different personality patterns, and we do have a personality scale here that measures mood swings. But Hillary Clinton did not register on that. In fact, none of the presidential candidates, really. The two individuals that are maybe more moody than Hillary Clinton are actually George W. Bush is himself, I wouldn't call it mood swings, but maybe moody, but really John McCain is the one who has more of a reputation having a temper, a volatile temper. So, you know, I'd have to know specific instances, but at least empirically, you know, based on the profile, I don't see any evidence of mood swings with Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. You know, when I hear mood swings, and you may not be able to address this either, that does sound, well, I don't know, it sounds like it's being addressed because she's a woman, she shouldn't show that women have mood swings.
I suppose there is that stereotype out there. I'm not, the caller intend it like that. But, let me just say that I don't see any evidence here of mood swings. She's very even keeled. Part of that has to do with this ego aspect. People fairly self-centered, highly confident, somewhat egocentric, maybe a little bit narcissistic, but there's a healthy aspect to narcissism as well. I hesitate to use the word because it's sometimes viewed as a pejorative, but people with who are a little bit narcissistic are typically very self-composed, imperturbable, unruffled, cool and level-headed under pressure, and that's exactly how Hillary Clinton explained herself. She was actually showing quite a bit of self-insight there. Now, where they sometimes lose it a little bit is where their goals are thwarted, or when their confidence is shaken, as I think it was in the past few days and after Iowa. And so I think that also played a little part, in Hillary's tearing up or becoming choked up on Monday. And so her ego was a little bit deflated over there, and so her typical imperturbability was replaced by some brief emptiness and dejection.
Yeah. Well, what can you tell us about Barack Obama? I'm going a little off topic, but since you have all this personality information on Hillary Clinton, how are Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton different on your personality study?
Yes, we do. We do have a profile, and he has one similarity to Hillary Clinton is they're both highly, highly self-confident. Hillary a little bit slightly higher than Barack Obama. Hillary is quite a bit more dominant than Barack Obama, so that's kind of the toughness measure. But, you know, only Rudy Giuliani scores higher on dominance and power orientation, on power drive than Hillary Clinton. So Barack Obama is not quite as power-oriented as Hillary Clinton. And Hillary Clinton is also higher on conscientiousness, which means she's a little bit more cognitively inflexible than Barack Obama, a little bit more closed-minded. Barack Obama shows up as being more open-minded and more easily able to make mid-course corrections and to be adaptable than Hillary Clinton.
Well, Sally in Ontario is with us now. Hi, Sally.
Hi. I'm listening to your show, and you're helping me make up my mind to vote for Hillary.
Why so?
I listened very carefully after Iowa. I listened again very carefully last night to the concession speech and the victory speech. And I'm listening to all this talk, and I'm surprised that no one's commenting on Barack Obama's concession speech. I found it to be flat. I found it humorous that he actually misspoke and used the word votes when he meant to say hope and corrected himself. To me, that's just as telling as the thing you guys are hammering away on with Hillary.
Yeah. Well, we were focusing in on the Hillary show of emotion and whether that played a part in the results. But Sally brings up an interesting point. Did you analyze Barack Obama's concession speech at all, Professor Immelman?
I listened to it, and I think the caller makes an interesting point there. I actually noticed that he said the wrong word. I didn't. I'm glad that she mentioned it was votes and hope. I should actually go and listen to that again or get a transcript. Now, you know, that might seem like, if the suggestion is that's maybe a Freudian slip, that would be quite interesting. But I believe that Senator Obama was using a teleprompter, and so he may also have misread, if that's the case. But that was certainly interesting. But it also shows how every single word that you utter on the campaign trail is analyzed, and that just brings us back to the level of stress that all of these candidates must be experiencing.
And Barack Obama had to be kind of stunned himself with the results, so maybe his victory speech had to be quickly turned into a concession speech.
Now, that's an important point right there. But actually, I think he gave his victory speech with a few small modifications at the top end of it, but I think you make an important point over there, because I think we get to learn, we get to know our candidates when they experience disappointment or even failure. So we've seen how Hillary Clinton responded to that. And I think last night was a good opportunity to also observe Barack Obama. He must have been stunned. Mm-hmm. And so I think we've had an opportunity to observe both of these two front runners now in the face of disappointment.
We're talking with Audrey Immelman, an associate professor of psychology at the College of St. Benedict and St. John's University, where he directs the study of personality in politics. Talking primarily about Hillary Clinton's show of emotion earlier this week on the campaign trail, a much talked about show of emotion where she held back tears, choked up, didn't actually cry, but a lot of people were wondering if this was going to make her look weak or make her look more human, whether it was going to reinforce any stereotypes that women are too emotional to be president. Well, some Democratic strategists are saying that that show of emotion may very well indeed have helped her in her upset victory over Barack Obama. What do you think? What was your reaction to her almost crying? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 7, we'll welcome in a guest political analyst to talk more about the New Hampshire primary results and how they will inform or influence the race for president from here on. Right now, we are talking about Hillary Clinton and her show of emotion in New Hampshire earlier this week. Did that make her look weak? Did it make her look more human? Did it help her? Well, our guest says that it probably did. What do you think? Kathy in Watertown is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Listen, the more I listen to this, the more upset I get. This is such a patriarchal society here. And anytime somebody says mood swing, especially if it comes from male, they're talking about things that have been said for years, which is a way to try to keep women down. And, you know, Hillary is not narcissistic. I disagree with your guest totally. Hillary is concerned about the way the nation is going. Hillary is concerned and wants to turn it around because, as far as I'm concerned, it's horrible what's happening. The country is in terrible straits. And this woman bashing, it's just been going on my whole life. She's old enough not to have mood swings. I mean, she's, you know, she's a strong person. I'm so upset with the way the men are speaking about this on the TV and everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, Kathy, women need to unite. Yeah. I'm tired of it.
Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate your call. We talked a little bit about that, Professor Immelman. There's a woman who might have come out in New Hampshire for Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm. I have no doubt that what Kathy says that Hillary Clinton is concerned about the direction of this country. I have no doubt about that, and you know that's at a personal level and even at an ideological level.
When it comes to the narcissistic, you yourself said that you don't like to use that term because it has a negative connotation, but it's not meant in a negative way.
No, there are positive aspects to that. She happens to be highest on narcissism among the candidates, but the worst candidates are the ones that don't register on that scale because they have no they lack self-confidence and they don't have any charisma. I should also mention that I've done three independent studies of Hillary Clinton, 1998, 2000, and 2004. And all of the studies were actually conducted by my research assistant, were all women. And they worked independently using different sources, and all three of them, when they were using the instruments that we use, came up with essentially the same profile, and in all of them, narcissism and dominance were the two highest scales for Hillary Clinton, and conscientiousness.
Very briefly, the instrument, how do you determine that a candidate is more narcissistic than another?
Yes, I don't want to, become boring over here. Listeners could search for units for the study of personality and politics on the web, and they'll find information there. But I have an instrument that I developed over the past 15 years, and it has 170 criteria. And so I and my research assistants go into the literature, media reports, biographies, and so on, and we look for independent verification of the presence or absence of all 170 criteria. Typically, a political candidate will find anywhere between 30 and 40, sometimes 50 of those criteria present. And then you just transposed into a personality profile, and then we go to the literature on the different personality patterns, and that's where we get our information. So it's reasonably objective. Look, personality assessment is both an art and a science, so I'm not going to say there's not some subjective element, but we create these profiles relatively objectively, and that's probably as much as I should say. Readers can find information in the academic literature on the methods that I use.
Wade in Green Bay. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I just want to call and say I think that Hillary was 100% genuine in her actions earlier in the weekend. I really don't like it that people compare it to her husband because they're two different people. And I think yesterday that what people told the newscasters was they're tired of the bias and the conjecture and the people spoke. I thought they did a great job in New Hampshire.
All right. Thank you very much, Wade. I don't know if there's anything you can add to that.
Well, I just want to, I made the same point as the caller a little bit earlier than when I said Bill Clinton had a reputation for turning on and off the tears when he wanted to. And so I think we should be careful about not reading Bill Clinton into Hillary Clinton. They have very, very, very different personality profiles. Mm-hmm.
John Richard in Lake Zurich. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I love your show.
Well, thanks for calling.
I'll be 82 years old later this year.
Well, happy birthday.
And nobody has ever called me chicken liver. But I feel sorry for those people who think that showing emotion is bad for a politician, either because they think it's phony or because they think it makes a bad statesman, one who would be weak in tough situations.
Mm-hmm.
In my experience, I get emotional, even at my late age, when I'm confronted with some unusual kindness, one that I didn't expect, that took me completely by surprise, and that where I can see no ulterior motives. I catch myself with tears rolling down my cheeks when I listen to some music. Some beautiful music.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a Republican. I've been a Republican ever since I became eligible to vote. And I'm afraid that when it comes to... I'll be voting in the Republican primaries in Illinois. But I suspect that if... Mrs. Clinton or Senator Clinton gets nominated, that I will vote for her.
Oh, John, that's very nice. Thanks very much for calling. Nothing wrong with showing emotion to beautiful music, to an act of kindness, etc., Professor Immelman?
Sure. It's a perfectly normal human emotion. And, you know, what I would add to that is it shows empathy, which is certainly an important quality, I think, for a presidential candidate. And so the question becomes, do you show empathy in response to the suffering of others,
mm-hmm.
or do you show, such as a fallen soldier,
mm-hmm.
or do you show emotion in response to your own difficulties? And so I think that's probably the aspect that I think is central to this debate.
Right. And while she was responding a little bit to her own disappointments, she was also equating it to that she was fighting hard to make the country a better place, and she was afraid that wasn't going to happen.
She had showed her concern, and she said that I don't want to see this country fall back or something to that effect. So there's a little bit of both there.
Yeah. Joy in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I didn't originally hear the tearing up comments, and I just heard it really now this morning on your program. I did hear her comments about, I've listened to you, you've listened to me, and I've found my voice.
Right.
And I found that extremely distasteful. I think it's very late in the game for her to be finding her voice. I think other people have found their voice decades ago, like John Edwards, in my opinion. And I find that whole... sense of thinking about her voice is very kind of juvenile and goes along with what your guest was saying about she's thinking about herself. I am also very uninterested in this whole men versus women issue. There are many more problems in this country than can a woman be elected at this point. And I'm just real upset by her demeanor in this. So,
Yeah. Any thoughts on whether it's late in the game to be finding her voice, Professor Immelman?
Well, I guess one Hillary Clinton is 60 years old, so she's had a lot of time to find her voice. You know, she's a highly conscientious and she plans everything, and so in some ways, probably
we have less than 30 seconds.
It was probably, I would say, I don't think Hillary's emotions were contrived, but finding my voice was probably something that was, maybe the speechwriter found that for her.
You know, a lot of response to this hour. I want to thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Good to be with you, Joy.
Aubrey Immelman is an associate professor of psychology at the College of St. Benedict and St. John's University in Collegeville, Minnesota, where he directs the study of personality in politics. Thanks to Leo Duran and to Karen Prager for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.